This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
And then maybe you just say hi to him if you can, if possible.
It's impossible. It's impossible to say hi. Hi, Tom. Wish you were here. You have a good friend, Sarah, who's bought you this limited edition, one of only a couple left here in Winnipeg, and Manitoba.
Also, he does have a podcast. He talks about you all the time. He talks very highly of you on there.
That's good.
So I just wanted to join me, give you one of those.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
All right, what up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom, and I've got Derry, New Hampshire's own Will Mercier here on the other side of the country. Will, how are you this evening? Where are you going, Sunshine?
Wow, sunshine and it's such a late hour of the day. What a treat.
Yeah,
Tom, know. I'm all right. I'm sitting on my bags of laundry I've got to go through. Got to sort through a bunch of clothes, see what fits, see what doesn't. And then I got to shop for a bunch of new ones for my spiffy new job.
Yeah, and want fancy pants on all of us, huh?
Yeah. So right now it's, you know, just me, the cat, and the CPAP machine hanging out.
Fair enough, fair enough. Will, I probably could have asked you this in pre-production, but how was The Wire so far?
So I feel like, I mean, we're still pretty early on, but it's kind of slow right now. So that's it's kind of like, where is it going? Like, that's kind of where we're still at in the show. It's like, where is this supposed to be going? Like, what's the... But she likes the guy who's playing McNulty because he was just in The Crown, and she watched The Crown.
Okay, Dominic West.
Yep. Lance Reddick.
Yeah.
I like Lance Reddick a lot.
Idris Elba's in it.
I was expecting him to be in it a little more. Than what I've seen so far.
Yeah, you'll see.
Because we're early on, so he's only really been in, like, one episode. And it was the first episode, so I'm like, oh, damn, Idris Elba's here already.
Yeah.
And then they haven't really shown him again since.
Has Omar showed up?
So, he showed up for the first time in the episode that we're watching now. Okay. So we're in episode, like... It's only like four or five. It's the one where the guy like walks right out the front door of like the penitentiary or the prison or whatever he's in.
Yeah.
So like we just saw Omar for the first time.
Nice.
We didn't get the joke where they're trying to get the desk like through the doorway. And then said they're trying to get it in and they're all like getting mad and we're both just like, I don't know what the joke was.
Well, one side thought they were pushing it in, one side they were pushing it out, so they're working against each other.
Oh, I kind of thought that's probably what it was, but it didn't land. We're both just kind of like, huh. You know what else didn't land? I know you haven't watched it yet, but series finale for Umbrella Academy. I'll just say for now because I know you haven't watched it yet.
How far are you?
We finished it. Oh, it's only six episodes.
Okay. Just huh?
I'll give it a solid
That sucks.
It's not reviewing well. It's one of those things where I feel like all I'll say is I feel like if you're going into your series finale and you know you only have six episodes to work with, maybe you take some steps to move your story along a little better, and maybe you don't have so many goofy asides that don't really add to what's happening.
Yeah, it's not like they
But
went in not knowing. You know, I mean, that
because
happened to.
I was feeling all right with it, and Brittany's like, there's only one more episode. I'm like, what do you mean there's only one more episode? Like, I feel like they kind of started like a bunch of these ideas that they're probably not gonna neatly wrap up in one more hour of television.
You think there'll be a movie?
With, I don't want to spoil it, but I think it would be tough with how poorly received this last season is. I think it would be tough to really push and try to get people's hopes up for a movie.
Yeah, because that's what happened to Deadwood, but they pulled the plug on them like as they were starting season three. So they had all these stories planned, and it's like, oh yeah, by the way, I know you're three episodes in, but you're done. And it showed. But then they got a movie which wrapped up a lot of stuff pretty cool, which is pretty awesome. So
Well, the old Swamp Thing where it's like, hey, congratulations, your show's canceled.
yeah. Thanks. And you're pre are you pretty and you're pretty familiar with the Umbrella Academy source material, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's three trade paperbacks for the main story. I'm pretty sure I have and I've read all three. I at least have the first two.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily follow books, because I don't think the books aren't like a terribly good adaptable source, but it's good for ideas,
Okay.
if that makes sense. Like, I, after having watched, because I got the books after we had watched the show, like however the first like two or three seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you read it, and it's like, I see where they got all the ideas from, but like it, they took a lot of liberties. And part of it is just how like the book is written and put together. And I
Okay.
mean, it's a celebrity comic. I mean, Gerard Way did, he didn't have to, write something that was going to be like a $1 million idea. Gerard Way writing a comic book was going to sell
Yeah.
a million comic books.
Fair enough, fair
And
enough.
it's quirky and it's weird.
Yeah. Got fun. Yeah, I just started from the beginning again, so I'm just on see yeah, I like the third episode, so I'm just kind of 'cause it's been a while.
We're working your way back up through.
Yeah, I haven't even watched the first last season of Cobra Kai yet, so
Never watched any of that.
it's good.
I did binge, I binged Caped Crusader, which you'll hear me on one of the next episodes of Nattering with E, because Eric and I record on this coming Sunday.
Nice, dude. Awesome. Yeah, Eric getting out there doing some more material, so
Yeah, just had episodes with the Peapod fellow.
yeah. Dropped today. So, and I'm not to suck my own dick, but it's our podcast. I also have Peapod on Monday.
Damn, this Peapod guy gets around.
Yeah. So, I think I'm number 7 of 7 on his, so yeah, Peapod's a good dude though, man. So it was it didn't really get to I don't know, it was yeah, well hopefully to get him on for some bonus material here soon. So when does Josh's book drop? It's the beginning of next month, right?
It's soon. It's very soon, because they just put out the let me scroll back through here. So 2 days ago he posted there's only a few days left to pre-order a copy.
Yeah, I saw that's what I was thinking, so
So if I follow the link, let's see if they give us a cutoff date. So
awesome.
it ships out in September. So we're in the middle of August, so it's you can still order it, but I mean the time is ticking down if you wanna nicely signed copy.
Yeah, I mean, and all you have to do is smash the link in the no show notes here. You can also get your first copy. Will and I have both ordered ours, so.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I was reading. A friend of mine fell off the wagon. Okay. So yeah, obviously shout out to Jake. Shout out to Josh and all of our former guests. So hopefully we'll get the Peapod stuff on, and we gotta get Bauerhausen and Peterson back on. They missed a lot of fun. Our episode with Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies, Will. I really enjoyed that.
I do. It's hard to promote episodes like that, though, right? Because you kind of need people to be watching the movie along with you.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, when I was quote unquote editing that, I was like, oof. What was I gonna say? Yeah, and there was just a lot of blank spots while we were watching, but yeah, and listen, I don't know. Listen, watching that by yourself too, I think, I think looking back, I definitely am gonna rewatch it. It's I think it's tough. Listen, if you weren't watching with your friends, like you said. Yeah, Shane Douglas is actually showing up somewhere here this weekend. I will not be there, but I did not order my it's in my wish list for Amazon. I have not ordered it yet, so I get paid on Friday, so we'll see how much money I got left over. So but yeah, Will, we should probably hit up our questions of Dishonor here real quick. And folks, make sure obviously thanks to Brendan and Rob first off, but yeah, get those questions in. Looking at you all high fivers. I'm talking to all my VGM fam. I do send in questions for several podcasts around, so send Will and I some shit. Some people may not like the segment, but it's a good way to interact with people, and kind of get the lay of the land. So as Rob and Dan are sitting listening to Rob, I know I keep saying it. And one of these days we're gonna do it. We're gonna get you on for a watch along here one of these days. So
Whose question are we leading with?
let's do Rob's first.
All right. So our pal Rob at UTT Rob, with all the talk of One Foot in the Grave on episode 136. In the sitcom One Foot in the Grave, Victor Melger's car registration, for those of us in the States, this is the license plate. The car registration was changed to a comical one. Which member of the 2014 Ring of Honor roster would change whose car registration plates to comical ones?
Well, I'm gonna first pick out well, Faith picked Mark Briscoe. And he's definitely gonna have a chicken fucker comical plate. And she not decided on who to put it on, so I think that it'd be funny if Mark Briscoe switched out his plates, chicken fucker plates, to Roddy Strong.
So Roddy's car would say chicken fucker.
Yeah. That is from my lovely wife. Listen, I mean, obviously Mark Briscoe is quite often a answer to these questions, so we're gonna try and stay away from that. And I think as a going away present, as he's leaving, Kevin Steen is going to switch the license plates of Jimmy Jacobs, sticking with the theme, he's going to switch Jimmy Jacobs' license plates out to say rookie. Considering he's been railing how he's been there for a decade and everyone's got to show him respect. But yeah, so Kevin Steen's gonna fuck with Jimmy Jacobs and say, "Hey, fucker, you think you're so funny? Enjoy these rookie license plates."
Steve Corino would probably mess with BJ Whitmer's license plate.
I don't
No.
know if it'd be funny or malicious though.
Right. Probably says, like BJ Hitter or something like that.
Oof.
Oof is right.
Oof, nah. I mean, you're not wrong. But yeah, how right Steve Corino was in general, huh?
You know, he has stayed true. He has never wavered on his feelings of BJ Whitmer.
And Steve Corino has wavered on a lot of things, but that obviously for comical.
Steve Corino and the Big Show are up there as far as the turn goes, but he has stayed true to his hatred of BJ Whitmer. 100%. Heel, baby face, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's brings me much happiness.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
BJ Whitmer or the person texting us?
Who's texting us?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Brenda just got back. Oh, he's at the Red Sox game. That's fun. Okay, so we'll save his Steam comments for next week. But before we let's do Brenda's question real quick. You got it up, Will, or if not, I got it.
Do I got it up? That's kind of a personal question, don't you think? I am excited to record this episode of Ring of Honor Revelry. I don't know if I'm that excited.
139 episodes, Will, I have to go through all my Lucha Underground notes here real quick. Cheap plug for the Going Underground podcast dropping day after Labor Day.
So Brendan wanted to know if we're creating a grunge band from the 90s with the Ring of Honor roster, who would be drums, guitar, and bass? And Brendan had Jay Briscoe on bass, Nigel on drums, and Matt Taven on guitar.
Who's singing?
You know, out of those, I guess I would hope it's Matt Taven, but that wasn't one of the questions. That was not. Ooh, sliding off the laundry bag. It's not explicit in the question.
That's a good thing. This is audio only. That's pretty funny, Will. So it's like that whole joke of like walking down the stairs. You got to have a singer. Obviously Nirvana was a three piece, but all the other grunge bands were, four or five. It's tough not to put Jimmy Jacobs in any band. I mean, I like his band. Jay Briscoe on bass is a lot of fun. I could definitely kind of be in seeing him. Nikki Sixx is definitely a big influence on me. As a young child, but are you familiar with the band Agnostic Front at all?
I couldn't pull a song out, but I'm familiar with the name. Okay. I know they're an older act, one of the OG acts, if you will.
Yeah, their bass player, who's got a book coming out next month, by the way, pre-ordered from Books & Co. in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Cheap plug for them, even though they're not a sponsor yet. But he's just a character. I mean, he's not the best world's best bass player, but he is just, all you can call that guy is a character. So I could definitely see Jay Briscoe kind of going along those lines as a bass player. All right, Will, who's in your band? Nigel McGuinness is a drummer. That's interesting.
See, I was going to put Roddy Strong on drums.
Interesting. Okay.
Need a man with cardio if you're going to be playing drums.
Yeah.
Bass, I was going to say Matt Taven kind of strikes me like a bass player.
Now, is he the kind of bass player that just kind of like is actually kind of talented but kind of hangs out in the back? Or is he kind of bass player who's kind of like can't really play very well but it's just a fucking nut job?
I'm going to say...
And which kind of bass player do you prefer?
Everything's got its own place. Not everybody can be flashy, but I feel like he's going to go with the groove, and that's about it.
Okay. And then who do you got on guitar?
On the guitar. Throw Silas Young on there, why not?
All right. Well, you mentioned cardio. I've gone through my head for a little bit for drummers. I'm gonna go with Cedric Alexander as your drummer. Man. Crazy nut job bass player. Someone that can sing too, so I'm gonna go Carino. It's tough because we know Jimmy Jacobs plays guitar. Lacey, 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 Lacey. But I'm gonna go away from Jimmy Jacobs just because.
Right, picking somebody who's actually like musically inclined, not as much fun.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna rescind my answer. I'm gonna put Cedric on guitar, but his rhythm section. War Machine. I could totally just see fucking Roe just fucking going nuts on the fucking drums. And then fucking Hanson just being that big burly fucking bass player. Yeah. So I got Cedric and War Machine.
Like I said, they kind of have a grungy theme song too, so
Yeah.
I'm down with it.
So yeah, and shout out to Brundon. Obviously, we say this quite often. The newest member of the Shining Wizards podcast. Hopefully that does not take away from his Ring of Honor revelry duties as the third member of this podcast. We do have to get another watch along here sometime, Will. Probably should ask you about that in pre-production, but we do have a movie, so if you want to reach out to somebody about that, we'll talk about that later. Yeah, make sure you're following the Irish Misfit. Live tweeting pretty much all the AEW stuff now for the Wizards, right?
Yes.
So, real quick, because I'm getting some text messages here from the Four Pillars. Will et al., did you watch the G1 at all?
No. I still don't have a subscription to the New Japan World. I haven't really kept up with it. I've seen posts about like what the finals and so far, but not I never got as excited for the G1.
Okay.
Like Best of the Super Juniors is really the only tournament that I've like, and even then, this past year, I didn't keep up with it at all.
I mean, spoiler alert here, obviously,
Because I think even, no, because the other ones, the New Japan Cup is a separate thing, right?
yes.
So even then, I've only watched one of those, and that was the year that Evil went evil. Watanabe, our young Watanabe.
Yeah. Shout out to Shining Wizards Matt. I often disagree with Matt on a lot of things, and I often agree with him. But one thing I am 10,000% behind him, besides why the fuck someone would put it on deodorant after taking a shower for not leaving the house. Fuck the house torture and fuck Evil. But G1 was great this year. A lot of young talent. There's one predictable, well, maybe kind of two. Out of the A block. B block, unfortunately, my favorite to not go through. But some young blood. And that's what New Japan needs because they've got some great fucking talent. They really do. So make sure you're checking out the G1. And hopefully, if I put this out in the universe, hopefully we get some more Phoenix Splash podcast going on here soon. Hopefully. So I know there's some
That'd be
big love
neat.
changes. I know JCB just moved in with his girlfriend. I'm not shouting his personal business. It's on social media. He's brought it up on Banned from Ringside. But shout out to JCB, good friend of the show, former guest. But yeah, watch the G1. But Will, real quick here before we dive into TV, quick shout out to everyone on Visionaries Global Media, as we mentioned earlier. Nattering with E. Awesome to hear Will's finally making his debut on Nattering with E. But Eric was on our watch along with us, but he's doing some good shit. Had Peapod on. Obviously, make sure, hopefully, we get some view from the top of the goalpost. I may not watch football, but it's always good to hear Chad and Diesel, whatever they do. Good cop, bad cop. It was nice to have Graham on. I think we decided we are going to dive into as many Bruce Willis movies as we can. So stay tuned for that. Once again, not suck my own dick, but this Insane Eight participant stuff's been pretty good. So I got 7 out of 8. I got one more to record. And then, yeah, make sure you watch or tune in to hear about the Insane Eight on Sunday. What am I forgetting, Will?
Dungeons and Junkies.
Dungeons and Junkies. I know they are releasing a little bit older stuff, but always a good time. So
long time. If you want those long, if you want the long podcasts,
I do. Like, I mean, if I enjoy a podcast, I'll listen to a 4-hour podcast. I don't give a shit. I mean, I'll listen to it double speed. Do you listen to your podcast at regular speed or double speed?
I've never listened to a podcast on double speed.
You should. Go through a lot, yeah. I can't do like a normal speed now. You don't miss anything. You know, you get twice the podcast and stuff like that. So
I feel like I subscribe to a lot, but with the ones that I actually listen to, like, I'm not really like hurting for time.
Yeah, I have a few, like, I mean, I'm subscribed to, but I don't really listen to, but I want to support, you know, because obviously there's subscriptions and, you know, I'll make sure they're downloaded and, you know, on Spotify, Marked as Played and stuff like that. But
I mean, I've got a little more time right now, especially too, because like Comic Book Couples Counseling has been putting out a lot of episodes, but a lot of them are interviews that they've already put up on their Patreon.
Okay.
So yeah, I think like the opening would be new, but like the actual, like the interview for the episode, like I've already listened to. Because they're still working through content that they got when they were at San Diego Comic-Con.
Nice. Okay.
So there's a couple of, like, still, like, new, not from that, but there's been a lot where it's like, oh, this episode's like, oh, that's, I already listened to that on the Patreon. I already listened to this on the Patreon.
Nice. So, speaking of Patreon, yeah, hopefully we get some None of My Friends Like Comics, but obviously understand a break, for sure. But yeah, Will, I will catch you on the side of the break, but make sure you're catching all the great shows here on the Shining Wizards Network. And once again, shout out to my buddy Josh, my co-host for Showtime Joshua from Going Under. And I do apologize for the technical difficulties. Those will be corrected for episode 3. But yeah, make sure you check all these great shows here on the Shining Wizards Network. And Will, I'll see you on the other side of the break.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, I didn't even count in because, you know, it's our podcast. We do whatever we want, but yeah, make sure.
Recording in progress. Dial a bait.
We do have to get an updated Shining Wizards block. You know, Will, we've only been talking about it for about a year and a half now. We should probably record a commercial.
Nobody listens to the commercials anyway.
Yeah, you never know.
They might listen to it once, and then you skip it over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. You know, I definitely fast forward through.
Oh, you don't have to skip forward because you're listening to the podcast at twice the speed. You're through the commercials faster than the 30-second skips, probably.
It depends on the 30-minute skip, so. Yeah, I've really just conditioned myself to do double. Actually, on Spotify, I do 2.2. Yeah, and I don't, unless in my iPod, you know, I do double the speed, but I mean, it's in my earbuds, so I don't miss anything, so. That's weird.
You're an animal. Right, Matt is in disbelief that you would watch an episode twice to take notes, but now you're listening to podcasts on double speed.
Yeah, well,
you also listen to a lot, and you listen to longer stuff. Like those Hosta interviews aren't necessarily short.
Yeah. I mean, I do. Like I said, I mean, anytime I'm in the car, I'm usually listening to a podcast. When I go to the grocery store, I don't want to talk to people, so I'm listening to a podcast. You know, I take at least a 30-minute walk every day, so I'm usually listening to a podcast. It's funny because, like I said, I've actually found, and I do this with wrestling too, like with music. I listen to more podcasts about music than I do actual music, and I really need to switch that.
I don't listen to any music podcasts anymore.
Interesting.
Not meant to be incendiary to any of our
brethren
stablemates that I may or may not have been a part of at one point.
Yeah. We do gotta get the broadcast guys on here one of these times too, so.
Oh man, we're gonna try to schedule something with them. They're gonna be like, what, 13 hours ahead of us?
Australia,
that'd be like, they're like almost 24 hours ahead, aren't they?
No, it's just 12 anywhere. It depends on where in Australia. When I looked, it's 12 to 15 hours. Like my buddy Gene, I think, is 14 hours ahead of us. Because when we were in Indonesia, and Indonesia is just north of Australia, We were exactly 12 hours ahead, so it was kind of nice. It was easy to remember. So it really kind of depends on where, but I don't know. It'd be interesting. Yeah, because I do have a podcast guest spot with my buddy Gene. We did an awesome review, actually, on the movie Romper Stomper. But we're doing the movie
Green. Romper Stomper.
Romper Stomper. It's an old, not old, but it's early 90s. Actually, one of Russell Crowe's first movies, but it's an old Australian skinhead movie. And by skinhead movie, I mean naughty skinheads.
Look at that. That cover is something.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe, Romper Stomper, a gang of neo-Nazi skinheads on a destructive rampage.
Yeah, and they get their asses handed to them, so it's kind of nice. So
it's on Tubi.
Yeah. Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Nice. I mean, I have it on Blu-ray, but it was a big
on the Blu-ray, just like my copy of Pro Wrestler versus Zombies.
I know, that's baller. I also have Hudson Hawk on Blu-ray, so but Will, we've got some Ring of Honor TV to go over here this week.
We do, Tom, not just any Ring of Honor TV. The last match. Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor.
Will ever have or have up to this point.
At this point, I really hope it's the last one because I really don't want anybody to go to Ring of Honor anymore.
Yeah, no shit. Unless Kevin Steen Kevin Owens buys Ring of Honor and runs it himself.
He ain't got time for that. He wants to hang out with his family.
He's a family man. And he likes his. But yeah, Ring of Honor TV episode 152, Will. Original air date, August 16, 2014. From the TV taping in Dearborn. And we've got Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness on the call. Why is Nigel on the call here, Will, not Steve Corino?
Because Steve Corino hasn't been at the desk lately because he's been preparing. Because he is Kevin Steen's hand-selected final opponents.
Yeah.
He picked his match against Ciampa, against Silas Young, and he wanted to fill his last date against his mentor, the man who they say got him into Ring of Honor. Said Steve Corino saw him, went to the higher-ups of Ring of Honor, said, we got to get this guy.
Yeah, and for those that have been doing, you know, with Ring of Honor rivalry since day one, and if you're still listening, the two or three of you, kudos, thank you. But this is kind of a bookend. Obviously, this podcast not ending for another 6 years. But, I mean, Will, our first match we really covered was Corino versus Steen. Final Battle 2011. You know, obviously, the way Ring of Honor TV goes, I mean, you know, we didn't cover that final battle, but obviously that match was all over it. You know, and like we put on the social medias to him, we'll say right here, we are definitely going to do a full Kevin Steen retrospective, you know, next week. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, Kevin Steen's a huge part of this fucking podcast. I think
we're never going to hear Unsettled Differences ever again.
No, that's kind of funny because this happened 10 years ago. It's funny because he's been with the E 3 years longer than he's been with the Ring of Honor at this point. You know, but I mean, honestly, without Kevin Steen, Will, I don't think we picked this era of Ring of Honor.
Well, I mean, we're watching in chronological order, so I mean, we were going to hit there regardless, but Kevin, he's somebody who superseded Ring of Honor. And that kind of ties into like what Brendan's answer when we kind of talk about Steen stuff is kind of like a spoiler for that is, but it's like, it's beyond Ring of Honor. Like, even like when I started dabbling with Ring of Honor, I didn't really know Kevin Steen. I still felt like Kevin Steen was like, had to be my favorite wrestler. Because he's everywhere. Like, he's all everybody talked about. He's got all the merch. He's got all the the DVDs, he's...
His merch game's good.
It's great. His merch was great. His theme song is a banger. I listen to that on a regular basis anyway.
Yeah, and it was kind of the original theme song for this podcast.
So, but I mean, and real quick, we start off with TV. We get a, you know, quick thank you from Steen, you know, a quick promo. And you can actually hear that promo right here, Will. So I'll see you on the other side of this promo.
When I was 11 years old, my dad put in a VHS tape of a wrestling show and changed my life. Because from that moment on, my dream was to be a professional wrestler. And thanks to Ring of Honor, I've had the chance to live that dream now for 7 years. And I'm very proud of everything I've accomplished in professional wrestling. But a big part of that dream has been a man by the name of Steve Corino. See, I met Steve 10 years ago. And from the moment we met, he took me under his wing and tried to help me as much as he could. Now, there have been times where we've stood on opposite sides, but even then, he was helping me. Because those matches helped me shape who I am now, and they've helped me shape my career. So, Steve, I picked you as my last opponent in Ring of Honor, and I cannot be more honest than I am now when I tell you that I'm honored, but don't think I'm gonna take it easy on you. Because I'm going to go out with a win.
I hope everyone enjoyed that. It's hard to imagine. Yeah, it's one of the last times we hear Kevin Steen on this podcast, at least for that. But Will, before we get there, though, and real quick, listen, we were talking, you know, before that Tom likes to watch things in double speed. I had watched this episode, but I had planned on watching it and taking more thorough notes before the podcast, but I got wrapped up in an awesome conversation with my neighbor and was running late, so I don't have as many notes as I should. But Will,
you know, you still got more notes than I've got, so.
Yeah, and you'll still remember more than I will, so I'll figure that out. But Will.
This is your standard Ring of Honor episode, 2 matches for television.
Yeah.
So we get a adrenaline rush. Head to head.
Yeah.
Jadarius Thomas flanked by he had Adam Page with him, and he had Jacobs and Page ringside? No.
No, it was just Adam Page at first. Oh no, it was Jacobs, you're right. And goddamn. You know, they've been kind of leaning, you know, obviously they had mentioned that, you know, Adrenaline Rush just kind of broke up, you know, ran its course, you know, TD went with the decade. It wasn't a big deal, but however, you know, they've now imploded. Obviously a lot with Jimmy Jacobs kind of prodding them on here. And Will, hashtag fuck of a match. This was a great fucking match. These two really showed why they are two of the best. And I know we have the benefit of hindsight, but it's really kind of sad because, I mean, I don't think Jadarius lasts much more than a year after this, you know, if I'm not mistaken, which it's been a great run.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're big ACH fans. I mean, Sky was the limit for him back at this point.
Yeah, and he's back. Listen, I know he's got a couple bookings here and there, so. Hopefully he's coming back for maybe the Jim Lyman for AAW on my weekly AAW shout out. But yeah, well, these two really went at it. I mean, some pretty vicious spots. You know, that whole kick to the fucking ring post on ACH. ACH flying all over the place. Tadarius really getting his fucking mean on. These two, I mean, you know, it's tough because they're going to be a footnote in history, because obviously the bigger thing is Steen.
Tom, what do you think, if I were to ask you, what do you think Tadarius Thomas's cage match rating would be?
5.8.
It's
5.96. No shit. I'm a fucking genius. Well, the way you said it, I guess kind of low, but honestly, I would have figured Colter 6.5, but
yeah, what? So Tadarius Thomas's last Ring of Honor appearance is in 2015.
And he's got a couple other matches after that. And then he's out of wrestling altogether. So yeah, the clock timer for Tadarius Thomas's in-ring career is ticking down.
Yeah, I mean, for now, how old is he? Does it say right there readily available?
Yep, so if I hop back to his overview. It doesn't have his birthday here, but his in-ring career started in 2005. So, I mean, at this point, he's already been wrestling for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
He's a Truth Martini guy.
I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, looking at him, I mean, he's probably in his 20s at this point.
Yeah.
So he's, as of today, he's 43. He's born in 1981.
Okay, yeah, so he's 33 here, so. Yeah, you know, never. Maybe if we keep talking about it, maybe we'll get some kind of Tadarius Thomas resurgence. From people that know, it just kind of sounds like he kind of fell off the face of the earth, but. But yeah, this match fucking ruled, Will. I mean, these two really went at it. It was, you know, they've got great chemistry. You know, it's kind of sad to see Adrenaline Rush go, but I think I'd rather see them battle like this. You know, and obviously, you know, ACH gets that 450 for the win. And then, you know, the decade starts to bully Tadarius Thomas because he lost this, that, and the other thing. And
they beat down Adam Page too, though.
Yeah, just randomly. They're like, oh, yeah, you're with him, so we're going to beat you. But they weren't having any of it, Will.
No, they stood up to him a bit, but at the end of the day, they still picked up their shit and walked back with the decade.
So, you know, maybe that's what Jacobs is looking for. But yeah, I can't overstate it enough, Will. You know, it was just these two flew all over the place. You know, Tadarius doing his cap in your ass karate. Yeah. Definitely a fuck of a match. I wouldn't know if I call it a match of the year contender, but it's really good, especially for a TV match. So then we get some more, you know, it's a little bit more promos, but
we get a lot of, and then we get some highlights, right? We get Kevin Steen winning the world title against Davey Richards.
Great match.
Him and Generico. We get clips of him wrestling Generico and also of him and Generico winning
the Ring of Honor tag team titles.
Tag team titles. So they won those three times, right?
I think
three
so.
Three-time tag champs. They beat the Kings of Pro Wrestling. They beat Age of the Fall. Is that what they're called? Jamie Jacobs, Austin Aries?
I think so, yeah. Brendan will let us know because Brendan's the man. Yeah, I mean, obviously we got to witness that Davey Richards Steen match. We still think that Elgin Steen was match of the year in 2012. Besides, obviously, you know, Steen Generico is, I mean, you're not going to top that. So,
yeah, they said Davey Richards against Elgin was better. I think Steen Elgin was a better match, but.
Yeah, I also. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, Steen Richards was great, too. You're probably talking, you know, 2, 3, 4 that year. But, alas, but yeah, Steve Corino coming out, he's got the gear. And, Will, what were Steve Corino's accolades?
So, before the match officially starts, and after Kevin Steen has been buried by streamers in the ring, unlike the opening of the match against Ciampa, where he just got like just bashed in it, and they just like they filled that ring with paper.
Now, when Will says buried, that shit's not hyperbole, motherfuckers. That's legit. Buried. That was pretty impressive. I actually kind of thought you were gonna put that as your screenshot, but the one you picked was fucking perfect. And Tristan, buddy, if you're listening to this, find us some. Steam, thanks t-shirt. So
as a callback to to even older Ring of Honor, Bobby Cruz is going to do, it's kind of like a championship intro where he's going to give both men like a full proper introduction. But Steve Corino gives him the sheet of paper as a little throwback, because Bobby Cruz brought into Ring of Honor as Steve Corino's personal ring announcer.
Yeah.
And I remember we watched that show and he was just like prattling on and on and on. Like, what is going on?
And
I didn't know, but now I know. And even Nigel said, you know, this is a little cheeky. This is a little little treat for those who have been watching
since day one.
A while.
So shout out to the Apron Bump podcast. Obviously covers that era of Ring of Honor. But what was it, four world championships?
67 championships.
Four
world titles, 13 countries, and no convictions.
Man, I hope I get to meet Steve Corino. I know he's a former BCW heavyweight champion, Bruce City Wrestling, no matter what I feel about Bruce City Wrestling. But hopefully he comes back one of these days for their tournament of champions or whatever. So
Steve Corino, he trains at the Performance Center now, so.
Yeah, it's true. So maybe now. I'm just brilliant. You know, obviously we hear him on commentary. Listen, obviously a lot of stuff we may not catch, but obviously.
Yeah, Corino, 253 pounds. And I like how Bobby Cruz, like 253 pounds. I still got like 30 pounds on Steve Corino here.
Yeah. Look good. You know, obviously he hasn't been in since in the ring action since Scum. But obviously a whole bunch of, you know, callbacks, you know, they're doing lariats and all kind of other moves. And Nigel was good enough to, go back and, you know, kind of call back to everything. So,
some homages to like bits where it was kind of like homages to Dusty and like other people that train Corino train scene. They talk about their backstory a lot in commentary about how like Corino saw Steen wrestle back in 2002 or whatever and came back and said, we really got to pick up this guy. They picked up El Generico and how El Generico left and now Steen's following in his footsteps.
Yeah, kind of ironic, huh? So
because we also saw Steen don the El Generico mask, bust out a Yakuza kick on Corino on the outside. Did you feel about the bit when they're outside and they're pulling close to the 20 count, because it was a really fast count.
Yeah. Time constraints, maybe. I mean, I don't know. That was
because like how they're like, there's no way this goes to a time limit. Like people will like
riot. Yeah. Nigel's like people will lose. And he's not wrong.
Steve Corino takes a beating in this match too. I mean, he takes an F-Sang, kicks out at two. It does take the package pile driver to put Corino away. So
yeah, so Corino does the job for Steen on his way out the door.
And they talk about I also appreciate that Nigel, maybe not as outspoken as he is currently on commentary when it comes to the American Dragon Bryan Danielson. But he does bring that up, and but how he was knocked out halfway through the match. But you know, it's not the Nigel who's on commentary now who's actively like trash talking. Including, I don't know if you saw, there was a recent interview where Nigel was asked about potential for returning to the ring, and he said, you know, he's got plenty of matches in him. It's just AEW's not at a point where it works out. He's not at a point where it works out. He's like, but if there was an opportunity for me to show Bryan Danielson that everything he's accomplished has just been dumb luck.
That's awesome. Nigel spit hot fire. So, I mean, he had to retire because he had hepatitis. So is that something?
Yep.
But I mean, can he?
Nobody blades or bleeds anymore. So it's probably, I don't know if it's different.
Do you think there's any chance that Nigel McGuinness is Danielson's final match? I mean, he's on his retirement tour.
Final match, maybe not, but I could see them giving the okay for like
one more.
To get Nigel in there one more time. I feel like it's a match they both would want to have.
I mean, it's been, what, 15 years since Nigel's been in the ring?
It's been a long time. So it's one of those things, could Nigel keep up with a Bryan Danielson, even if Bryan Danielson's in, like, semi-retirement mode?
Yeah. So
Danielson still goes hard for somebody who's
not brand new,
who's on the way out.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny you mentioned that. So, because Steen and Ciampa, that was pretty chippy. You know, Steen and Silas, a tad down, but obviously, I'm not picky. I mean,
still thinking about that chair spot where they threw him into like the tower of chairs. It's just like, that's going to suck. There's no good way to take that.
Yeah, especially as you're about to be a millionaire. But I mean, obviously this match, it was okay. It's really obviously much more about the moment. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. It was fine for what it was. I don't, there wasn't like the big, long, emotional, drawn-out story. I mean, the story pretty much was Steen wants to go out on top against his mentor, Kevin Steen, or Carino. Carino's coming back in the ring for the first time in however long. He wants to leave on top, too.
Yeah.
Like, Steve Carino is a proud man.
Yeah.
But Kevin Steen as a, obviously Steen for the very last match, especially against like Carino, was gonna go over.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense,
crowd, thanks Steen, thanks. They get a, Carino gets up, get a hug. Jimmy Jacobs comes down to the ring. And there's a little bit of a standoff between the former leaders of Scum, and then Jacobs jumps into Steen's arms for a big hug. Little kayfabe breaking moment. Because again, they don't really acknowledge the Scum stuff. Like, that's kind of been scrubbed away.
Yeah.
But obviously, tons of chemistry and history between those three guys. I mean, you go back to the match from that final battle.
Yeah.
It's those three guys. I mean, that they've been intertwined pretty much the entire time this podcast has been going so far.
Yeah, 100%. So,
but Jimmy Jacobs is still a heel. So while they're celebrating and schmoozing, BJ Whitmer and Roderick Strong come down to the ring. They put the boots to Carino. They attempt to put the boots to Steen, but Steen counters with the clotheslines.
Yeah.
Everybody ducks and runs. The locker room piles out, which maybe this is just because we're in 2024. But it was startling to me when they said the locker room is clearing out and it's like all the black athletes are in the ring.
Yeah, I'm like, they really shouldn't have mentioned
the optic is a little weird.
Yeah.
That it's been poised as like a racist angle or anything, but it's just hard to be like, oh, the locker room that's against the decade is coming out and it's all the young black wrestlers.
Yeah.
Jacobs yells at ringside, he's like, I love you.
But
you're leaving just like everybody else.
Yeah. Which is ironic, because he follows shortly thereafter.
It's in like another year or so, but yeah.
Yeah. I should say shortly thereafter. I mean,
he goes to the E, then he gets fired for being in a picture of the Young Bucks, and it's for Impact now, or TNA now, right?
I think so. He's not backstage at AEW?
I don't think so. He's had a couple matches for Ring of Honor and stuff, but last I knew he was with he had the gig with TNA.
But you're not gonna, obviously, Kevin Steen doesn't want to, I mean, he's literally risking his family.
You are correct, Tom. He is currently a producer for All Elite Wrestling.
Nice, okay. Not words I hear very often, but thank you, Will. The whole I was correct part.
He was trained by Truth Martini too.
Makes sense. Juice Martinez has fingers all over the place. He also trained the North.
Listen, he's got to keep his fingers to himself.
Yeah, if anybody does. But yeah, Truth Martini also trained, the North Star carrot, Aaron Ashura, all the way from Pluto. We Love Wrestling alum, so quick love or plug there for We Love Wrestling. Shout out to Tommy Trainwreck. I should get that motherfucker on this show. That'd be fun. He's my co-host on the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup. But yeah, this match was fine. It's obviously about the moment. We don't want Steen getting hurt before he signs his big fucking contract. They couldn't wait till, it's kind of weird because obviously Death Before Dishonor is like, well, when they did this taping, because you posted that thing on Twitter because he signed officially, August 12th? When he got the graphic from Trip. So, and then this was taped a couple weeks ahead of time, I'm fine him getting this at a house show during a TV taping in Dearborn, Michigan.
Right, it's kind of a shame that it didn't line up to be right, because that could have been like a big pay-per-view match, and maybe they do something more, but it didn't need to be. Like, it's all about the send-off. I mean, all of Steen's farewell matches were all kind of like house showy, smaller.
Oh, geez, smokes, you okay, kiddo?
I mean, and he even said in that one promo, he's like, people get big matches in New York and Chicago and Toronto all the time. Like, he wanted to do big stuff for
the smaller,
these smaller places. I mean, they go to Michigan a lot.
Yeah. And Hopkins, Minnesota. And then, I don't know where the other one was, but yeah, it was
Ohio, right?
I think so. Yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah, you're right. Silas. We will do a full retrospective. I did get a little emotional here, so maybe I'm kind of glad it wasn't too big of a moment. You put a big, nice, awesome screenshot, with the sign and, with his back.
Right, which that was from the last show. So that was from when he wrestled Silas.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, you got
the visual is there. It's Pete. A lot of blood and sweat and tears.
Yeah, 7 years. He said, I guess he made his debut in 07. His history with In and Out with El Generico. The stuff he did with Jim Cornette was great. If you ever get a chance, he did a great podcast kind of during that time with a friend of the Shining Wizards, the OG Kevin Gill. So if you want to check out the Kevin Gill show back in 2013, 2012, his shit with Cornette was great. I still think it's a work. I think everything's a work. But yeah, Kevin Steen's no longer with Ring of Honor. He's no longer, obviously the cat's out of the bag. I think everyone pretty much knew that he was going to, it's not that he's taking time off to be, he probably took 3 weeks off maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe he actually did take some time off before he signed. So, or maybe he had to go through some kind of physical, but, that was really cool that you found that post. Where'd you find that from? Was it like a,
that was just something that got shared on. I don't remember where I poached it from.
Nice.
I think it was something on Instagram I poached it off of.
This history or this date in wrestling history or stuff like that or something.
Something like that, yeah.
So he'll go on to do great things. Kevin Owens is,
still everything. He's just a more toned down version of what he has been. The in-ring work is still there. Early Kevin Owens, you debut, you fucked up CJ Parker.
Yeah.
And then your best friend in the whole wide world wins the heavyweight title. And what do? You fucking give him a couple apron power bombs and tell him to go fuck himself, right? And then after you win your belt from your friend, you go to the main roster and you fuck up John Cena and you grind your boot on the US title and you don't get the wins because they fucked up and you should have had the wins. Cena could have afforded the loss.
Yeah.
And he still looks so good in those matches.
And that's when I started getting back into wrestling. That was, literally Kevin Steen was probably one of the first wrestlers. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Or Kevin Owens. I'm sorry. So we'll obviously dig into this a bit more, next week after it wears off.
But Will, where do you, I mean, it's tough because we know where they go from here. But where, without knowing too much, where do you think, they obviously still have Red Dragon. We've got War Machine coming up. Hopefully the Pretty Boy Killers are going to show up here pretty soon.
Right. You'd almost say
Young Bucks are coming.
They need to push more into their tag team division. That's kind of where the money is right now.
Yeah. And they will. I mean, it's
because I'm not going to lie. I really don't care about Elgin as a champion, and I don't think there's really any interesting. I'm just going to do a bunch of open challenge title runs. Doesn't really, like, there's no real story there other than Adam Cole wants a rematch.
Yeah. Well, unless Silas beats him, and Silas, like, you know, that shit's not flying. You don't just give open champ. You got to.
I think we both know Silas Young at this juncture in his career is not going to win the Ring of Honor heavyweight title.
You know, he's not that far from winning the Ring of Honor TV title. You know, he beat Jay Lethal in Milwaukee. I won Jay Lethal.
Spoilers.
Is spoiler alert for Ring of Honor Unauthorized from April 2017. You can hear a review of that on the Shining Wizards podcast. I can't remember the episode number where your boy High Five Tom guest spotted, but yeah, it's going to be, it's a great call on the tag team division. It's time, you know, the Young Bucks will become big part of Ring of Honor.
Like, now that Steen's going to be gone, I mean, Red Dragon has the most personality.
Yeah.
That's something that they've struggled with, you know, during the time we've been watching is, they've had some good wrestlers, but not a lot of great personalities. And Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly are great personalities.
Amazing.
They are personalities you can build a TV program around.
Yeah, and they're just letting Bobby.
And they back it up. They're great. They're great in the ring too. Just let them be the champions. You put the belts on them. Let them be the champs.
Yeah.
As long as you don't go to Canada.
Yeah, I mean, if you do Canada, I mean, just don't, you know, just be like WWE and don't defend your tag team titles on your biggest paper. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Defend any of the belts on the pay-per-views.
You know, I don't know why, you don't have Johnny Gargano defend his tag team title in Cleveland when he's from Cleveland, but that's just me, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we still got Ciampa. You know, we do know that he's probably got about a year or so left, but I mean, Silas, Adam Cole being Adam Cole. I mean, Adam Cole's still a personality, you know. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens here, but,
Yeah, who knows how much longer we have Ciampa too, because him and Ciampa did some not so nice things in the near future to, particular referee, so we'll see that when we get there.
Yeah,
I don't remember if that's when they like take him off the program altogether, if that was like later, because again, my sense of time and like where stuff all fits in like the grand timeline isn't the greatest.
Yeah,
but Steen is gonna leave, it's gonna be a big hole that Ring of Honor is going to have to fill. So we'll see. We'll see how they do.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Will, it's been a pleasure. As always. Any last shout outs or anything?
I'll say, Liz and, Kiwi, and hopefully my pal Marion performs under the band name Dirt Hag. Hopefully folks checked out the podcast from one of the last posts I made. Thank you, Tom, for doing all the hard work. Faith for paying the Zoom gimmick.
Yeah.
Visionaries Global Media and the Shining Wizards Network for helping get this out into people's ear holes. We haven't shouted out the international community in a while, but shouts out to all our international listeners, Scott George, you know, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Anybody who decided to rent or purchase Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies, if you did rent it or purchase it to do the watch along, please let us know.
Yeah, all kinds of fun. So, yeah, shout out to our better halves, all the networks and everything. So, but Will, I will, I'll see you next week, my friend.
See you in a week.
All right, yeah, and make sure everyone get us your Kevin Steen moments here too. We'll be doing a basically, I mean, we'll do Ring of Honor TV, but it's basically gonna be a Kevin Steen episode next week. So, but Will, I'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Look how quick Steen is up. Where's these two men that made scum of violent force, of destruction, almost burned this company to the ground were it not Steen himself to save it? Now, finally,
here we go.
Say goodnight, Steve Corino.
It is over.
Pile driver.
Thank you, Kevin Steen.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence. on a global scale.